This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Monday, May 21st, 2012. The man who started the Hewlett fire near Fort Collins has been issued a federal citation for causing timber to burn without a permit. The Denver Post reports that according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Colorado, 56-year-old James Weber used an alcohol-fueled stove while camping, which started the fire a week ago. According to the news release, Weber tried to stomp out the fire before fleeing when the flames spread. He later told authorities that he had started the fire. The Post reports that Weber could face up to $325 in fines and fees for the citation. The federal government will also pursue civil restitution. According to the U.S. Forest Service, the fire has grown to more than 7,600 acres. As of Friday, it was about 11% contained. More than 500 firefighters are working on the blaze, along with air support from heavy tankers and multiple helicopters. On Friday, Governor John Hickenlooper declared a disaster emergency for the fire, giving $3 million in state funds toward efforts to control it. The Post reports that so far about $1.2 million has been spent. Hickenlooper also authorized the Colorado National Guard to assist in battling the blaze. Oxbow Mining, LLC, paid the Bureau of Land Management nearly $1 million last week to expand its Elk Creek mine just north of Somerset. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Oxbow paid more than $990,000 to lease some 700 acres of federal coal. Oxbow will also have to pay BLM rental fees and royalties on the developed coal. The BLM estimates the leased coal could produce $6.3 million in royalties, half of which would go to the state of Colorado. Oxbow plans to develop about 4 million tons of coal from the leases. The Sentinel reports that Oxbow had nominated the acreage for leasing and was the only bidder in the competitive process. That was expected, given the area is landlocked and adjacent to the mine's existing operations. The Sentinel further reports that this lease will extend Oxbow's underground mining for an additional year. Oxbow has said it would also take another year to develop the area for longwall mining. The lease sale proceeded after the Interior Board of Land Appeals upheld the BLM's plans in March. Wild Earth Guardians and the Sierra Club had challenged the decision over greenhouse gases and other air pollution concerns. In March, the BLM also approved a coal lease modification for Oxbow, adding about 160 acres and 555,000 recoverable tons to the mine's existing operations. The Sentinel reports that both recent BLM lease actions require that Oxbow evaluate and report on the technological and economical feasibility of alternatives to methane venting to the surface. Methane is a highly potent greenhouse gas. As KVNF has reported, Oxbow is pursuing a methane capture project. Also last week, the BLM opened a public comment period on Oxbow's proposal to drill exploratory holes for coal beneath nearly 14,000 acres in the Oak Mesa area near Hotchkiss. The body of a Grand Junction resident was found in southwestern San Miguel County last week. The Telluride Watch reports that 54-year-old Jonathan Keith Kelly was found approximately 20 miles west of the Basin store in a remote area off U-29 Road by his brother, who had been searching the area on his own. The Watch reports that without his dedicated search efforts, it is unlikely the body would have ever been found. Kelly had concealed himself between a cliff wall and boulder and beneath an overhang. Members of the County Sheriff's Office and the U.S. Forest Service were also involved in the search. According to San Miguel County Coroner Emil Sante, both the manner and cause of death are pending. Starting on Saturday, Armed Forces Day, the National Park Service began issuing free annual passes to all 397 parks for active duty U.S. military members and their dependents. According to a release, active duty members of the U.S. military can pick up their pass at Colorado National Monument's entrance stations. They must show a current valid military identification card to obtain their pass. This pass could also be obtained at other entrance stations to national parks. The pass also gives free entrance to sites managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Reclamation, and the U.S. Forest Service. The pass is also available to those locations. The deadline is approaching for USDA disaster and income support programs. June 1st is the last day for producers to file for supplemental revenue assistance payments, the direct and countercyclical program, and the average crop revenue election program. The supplemental revenue program compensates producers for production and/or quality losses during times of disaster. The other two programs provide income support when there is a decline in commodity prices. For questions regarding the programs, visit the website at www.fsa.usda.gov. And I'll post that on our news on our website after this. And finally, news from the other side of the line. More than 100 demonstrators gathered Saturday evening on the Sunbaked Desert just south of a proposed nuclear power plant near Green River, Utah. The Salt Lake Tribune reports they were protesting both the envisioned reactors and the big gulp of disputed river water needed to cool them. A, quote, "No Green River Nuke Coalition," end quote, that included residents of southeastern Utah, Uranium Watch, Heal Utah, and Living Rivers, chanted along with an American Indian blessing of the land, and some donned costumes, including mushroom clouds and foam fish heads. Elder Moab River runner Ken Slight told the crowd, quote, "This is never going to be, but by hell we're going to have to fight for it. We're not going to have this beautiful area polluted with radioactivity or waste," he said, "and we're not going to let them take that water out of this river." These groups, along with some Moab River guides, have filed a lawsuit over water that would be required, upward of 50,000 acre feet per year, or enough to supply a moderately sized Utah city. Their aim is to reverse the state engineer's approval of a withdrawal of water that they say the river, either for fish or for recreation, can't afford. Uranium Watch Program Director Sarah Fields of Moab said she believes the nuclear promoters are speculating without the means to build a plant and may end up leasing the water for other energy projects in eastern Utah. This concludes the KVNF Morning Newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.